Paul's letter to the Galatians is a bit of a mixed bag in which he writes many of the most memorable of his lines, such as, "For there is no longer Greek or Jew, male or slave, for all one in Christ Jesus," or "God is not mocked, you will reap what you sow," or "Bear one another's burdens, for in doing so you fulfill the law of Christ," or "May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ," and perhaps most controversially, "I wish those who unsettle you would castrate themselves." Funnily enough, it's this last line that is actually a pretty good summary of what this letter is about. Paul had set up this community in Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, and another group of Christians who believed that circumcision was integral to being a Christian came and started teaching their beliefs. And I love this letter for a few reasons. One, it should dispel the notion that there was ever a time in Christian history when we all agreed on something. From the very beginning, the church was rife with disagreement about what teachings were correct. The other reason I love this letter is that it's very funny to me that it is in the Bible because of how crass Paul is in this letter. At one point, he refers to the works of righteousness under the law as skubala, which is a Greek word we translate as rubbish, but that's just us being polite. It's really a swear word, and a better translation might be BS. And then the third reason I love this letter is it walks a razor's edge of wanting to simultaneously uphold the Torah as good, but not have it understood as the end-all be-all of righteousness. Now, Paul's contention is that the law served as a pedagogue. That's where we get the word pedagogy from, and you might think it means teacher. And for those who grew up in the King James, this is translated as schoolmaster in King James. But in the NRSV, we translate it as disciplinarian. And that's not really a good translation either, because in the Hellenic world, in the Greek world, a pedagogue was a slave whose job was to tend to the children. They were a guardian, a protector, a disciplinarian, and so many other things in the absence of the children's parents. And Paul does not want to say that the law, our pedagogue, is bad, that the children of God did not need tending to. But he simply wants to say that the pedagogue is not the father. That is, that the law is good, but we have received something better. Not just a servant of the Father to help guide us, but a Son who comes to set us free by making us sons and daughters as well. In essence, Paul is arguing that Moses is to be revered, but understood as a servant, just like we all were. But now, someone greater than Moses has come so that we are no longer slaves and servants, but sons and daughters. Now, Paul is not saying that we should spurn the law, only that we no longer need it to achieve righteousness. Our relationship to God has changed in Christ from an obedience that leads to righteousness to a grace that leads to surrender. If I were to modernize the analogy, I might say to imagine that being a Christian is like being a mathematician. Your kindergarten teacher who taught you how to count, or your high school algebra teacher, would likely still hold a prized place in your heart. You wouldn't hate them or forget their lessons, but neither would you stop at counting or algebra as the fulfillment of all mathematics. You would go on to learn calculus or base 12 mathematics or physics, etc. And it's not a perfect analogy, but Paul is encouraging us to think of the law with the same kindness that you might remember your favorite teacher. while also recognizing that there is much more to the world than what they taught you. But when another group of Christians shows up preaching the opposite message, Paul becomes irate. And he says that while the law is good, it forms a unique covenant with the people of Moses. Those who are in Christ have no need for it because we find our righteousness, or in Paul's language, we are justified through faith, that is, trust in Christ. And he importantly points out that we grow in Christ not through the meticulous observance of the law of Moses, but in submission to the law of love. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts, this is Paul saying this, is faith working through love. For we are free, but we are not lawless. He goes on to say, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So those who are so concerned with following the Bible to the point of wanting to police other people's reproductive organs, we have a direct correlation in the scriptures for what we should do as Christians when it comes to that matter. And we would do well to remember what St. Paul says. But the long and short of all of Galatians is that the law is good, and there is more to our relationship to God than following rules. God did not create us to be his slaves, but to be his sons and daughters. And if we are enslaved at all, that we should be slaves of love, sacrificing our desires for the betterment of our neighbors, emptying ourselves as Christ emptied himself on the cross, sacrificing himself to our base desires for blood and vengeance, that he might redeem us for a higher purpose, to be heirs of his kingdom.
Hallelujah.